This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. There's one musical instrument that gets extra attention around Christmas, the handbell. Handbells are all about learning to play nicely with others. Maybe you've seen handbell choirs in churches or schools, or perhaps you've played in one. For things not to sound like a total mess, each member of the choir has to ring the right bell at precisely the right time. Well, for years, the relationship between the two companies that make most of the world's handbells was anything but harmonic. David Kestenbaum of our Planet Money team tells us about the multi-decade feud between the two companies and how they finally made peace.
The story of the feud begins back before there were two companies, when there was just one, Schulmerich in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. Schulmerich's chief engineer at the time was a man named Jake Malta. But there was a change in management, he didn't get along with the new bosses, and in 1973 he left. The thing is, he could not stop thinking about handbells. He had a vision for a perfect bell, a bell of supreme perfection that he had never quite achieved at Schulmerich. His daughter, Joanne Malta, says her dad set up shop in the family living room.
He had a folding table, two of them, stretched out with all of his drafting supplies on there, and then the piano behind him.
He traveled to Europe, studied the physics of bells, made sketch after sketch.
He knew that he could make it better, and we still believe that he achieved that.
Malta's achievement? A bell that he said had a purer tone than the ones he'd developed at Schulmerich. The bell had a slightly different shape, and this part is key, so remember it. He removed the little brass nub at the top of the bell where it attaches to the handle, a part called the tang. Malta took his design, and he started a new handbell company called Malmark, just down the street from his former employer. And before we get to the decades-long war, I'm going to play you what they were fighting over. Here is the sound of a Malmark bell. And this is a Schulmerich bell, same note. Some experts say they can tell the difference, though they're divided over which bell sounds better. Pretty early on, the fight over which sounded better ended up in court. Schulmerich had run an ad disparaging, quote, tangless bells. In 1976, Malmark sued, and the bell wars had begun. The two bell makers settled that lawsuit, agreeing not to compare their bells to the other's bells. But then there was another lawsuit over a patent, claims, and counterclaims. Kermit Junkert in Schulmerich's sales department says these were terrifying times. Remember, neither side was supposed to compare its bell to the other's bell. So Kermit and the other salespeople were instructed to use all these awkward phrases.
For example, our handle is not hollow. Well, by saying it's not something, you would refer or infer that someone else's handle is hollow.
It's like you were indirectly trash-talking the other one.
Indirectly, of course. I mean, literally, there were legal teams that would write, here's what you can say, or here's what you can't say. And that would come about from whoever won the latest lawsuit.
How long did that go on?
Forever.
Over in the engineering department, workers also found themselves drafted into the conflict. The Schulmerich Bell Shop was transformed into an experimental laboratory, tasked, at one point, with trying to substantiate the claim that a bell with a tang was louder than one without. As part of the testing equipment, the engineers built a robotic ringer that would hit the bell with exactly the same force every time. Gregory Schwartz, an engineer who worked on this, said the tang did make a bell louder, but not much.
So you're only looking at percent or two, maybe something like that.
It was a couple percent louder.
Maybe. Is the average Joe going to know the difference? I don't think so.
It wasn't even like it sounded better. It was just slightly louder.
Right. That's basically it. But that was the premise, yeah.
I see.
Our bells with tangs produce more sound volume. And the other side said, baloney, that's not true. And we said, yes, it is true.
One lawsuit even made it up to the door of the U.S. Supreme Court, which in the end decided not to hear it. In another lawsuit, Malmark was awarded $2 million, which was a lot less after legal fees. Another group that sometimes joined the fray were the bell ringers themselves, who, remember, were musicians, churchgoers, elementary school teachers. Tim Schubach at Malmark recalls one episode at a handbell industry conference.
I had, unbeknownst to me, mistakenly said hello to a Schulmerich customer from our booth. The customer continued to walk by and over their shoulder, not even stopping to acknowledge me, said, "We're Schulmerich ringers," in a very kind of condescending way.
The bell wars and all, they went on for over 30 years. Peace finally came just with the passage of time. The heads of the companies who had fought so hard passed away, and a younger generation took over. Tim, who you just heard, came to run Malmark, and a new guy bought Schulmerich, a guy named Jonathan Goldstein. This was a notable development for a couple reasons. One, he's Jewish, and two, he knew nothing about bells.
When I purchased the company, I knew less than nothing. I can't even read music.
Last year, Jonathan and Tim, the new heads of both companies, found themselves at the same meeting in Cincinnati. And this was big news in the handbell world. The two of them sat down and talked.
So I said, you know, hi. Wow. My understanding is that that these two companies went at it hammer and tongs for a lot of years, and I'm just not ready to do that. It said, it seems to me that, you know, you're not my enemy and I'm not your enemy. The enemy is the 300 million people out there who don't ring handbells. And, let's go get those people and show them what a great instrument this is and get them ringing.
It was so welcomed. It was just like this great weight coming off of our chests.
This is Kermit again in sales. As is often the case after a long war, the soldiers are eager for peace. Kermit just got a Christmas card from Malmark for the very first time. And he told me something it's hard to imagine either side saying during the long decades of battle. Schulmerich bells and Malmark bells, they both sound beautiful. You can even play them together.
When they're mixed together, the event sounds wonderful. It's a wonderful sound.
This is the Sonos Handbell Ensemble, one of the few choirs that mixes Schulmerich and Malmark bells. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.